Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 4th of November. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Hugh Downs Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. Nobody says Wednesday like you do. It's amazing.
Well, I try. So, John is here today. Sort of as a favor to me that I hope will end up being a favor to all of you. And it's because at my house recently, Mr. Kelly has caught new TV fever, is what he's come down with. And so I wanted to talk to John a little bit about displays and televisions and all the letters involved in the signs and why it matters and what we need to care about. So the first thing I notice on the occasion when I get to go someplace that is trying to sell me a television is that they've gotten bigger, but they're not dramatically bigger. Like it used to be almost every time you went to a store, you know, every 6 months, they were twice the size they were last time. Right. So it seems like, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but it seems like we've settled in on kind of like a 6 to 7 foot across screen.
Well, let's be more specific for English system of units. I think for budget conscious people, 55 inches is about the norm. Mm-hmm. But for people who can afford a little bit more, I think 65 is about the average. Mm-hmm. Not too many 75s. 65 is pretty popular.
Yeah, I see a lot of 65, the occasional 70 or 75, but it seems to be a lot of 65. When I'm out and about. And it seems like it's been there for a while, but I might be wrong about that. Now, we know how big the screen is, but there are different varieties of display, which sounds kind of weird because they're all TVs, but some of them say OLED on them. Some of them say QLED on them. Some of them say LCD, and it gets really confusing.
Some of them say LED.
Because they say, yeah, there's LED, there's OLED, there's QLED, there's LCD.
Let me explain that.
Yes, please.
You want to hear the difference?
I do.
Okay. So we started off in flat panel displays with LCD, liquid crystal display.
Yes.
These crystals change their opacity depending on the current that's applied to them. Mm-hmm. You have to backlight them so that they can let through the light. And there's a little bit of bleed so they don't get really dark, and that hurts the contrast ratio. By and by, we switched from fluorescent backlighting to LED backlighting.
Okay.
And LED backlighting provides a purer light and brighter displays.
Okay.
So what happened was over time, LCD became kind of a blasé term. Manufacturers liked the sound of LED, made it sound like it was an OLED TV, but it really isn't. It's just LED backlighting. So you'll see some TVs that advertise as LED, but they're really LCD with LED backlighting.
Okay.
LCDs with LED backlighting are kind of passé now.
Okay.
Because two new technologies have come along to supplant that.
Okay.
And the reason they've supplanted it is because, as I said, there's a little bit of bleed through those liquid crystals, and that hurts your contrast ratios, and they never get really very dark. Mm-hmm. So next came along QLED and OLED, organic LEDs. And what Samsung and others call quantum dot LEDs. Mm-hmm. Different technologies.
Okay.
OLED, OLED is a lot like plasma. These are crystals, organic crystals, that radiate when they're excited with electrons.
Uh-huh.
And the light is very pure and is very much like the old plasma displays. So if you've had a plasma in the past,
yes,
and you want to upgrade from a high-definition plasma, OLED is the way to go. But OLED is not perfect. There are some minor issues with brightness levels. OLEDs can't get very bright, but because they start from a very dark level, mm-hmm. contrast ratios are good.
Well, that's a lot like plasma, right?
Like 800...
With plasma, that was one of the sort of advantages to it, right? Was like you have to, if you have a room that can be reasonably darkened, then plasma is what you want because it'll look great in a dark room. But if you have a lot of other light sources happening, then your plasma display is not going to look as good, right?
Well, am I remembering that? Bright as but OLEDs, because okay. There's a limit on how bright OLEDs can get. It's about 800 or 1,000. It's at the outside. And there is some minor issues from people have talked about from time to time of burn-in, but it hasn't been an issue very much. And then there's lifetime issues of maybe 80 or 100,000 hours, which is all anybody ever needs for their use. Quantum dot technology is an inorganic crystal, nanocrystal, which has interesting properties that when you radiate it with blue LED light, the light that it transmits through depends on the crystal size. So you can have RGB crystals of different varying size, hit them with blue LED black lighting, and control whether the red or blue or green comes out the front. They can get very bright. The color is very pure. You're going to get a rich color gamut. And they're not as expensive as OLEDs. So you can buy a 65-inch. I just looked. You can buy a 65-inch Samsung QLED for about $1,400.
Okay. So
because it's inorganic, and I haven't read much about the lifetime of the issue, but I doubt there's any issues with it. And the only thing that worries me is that QLED sounds a lot like OLED, but it's not. It's a completely different technology. And I think they're on par with each other.
Okay.
There came a time when purists were moving from LED and LCDs to OLED. But nowadays, you can choose either one with confidence, I think.
Okay.
And depending on the price point.
Okay.
So for color purists who want self-illuminating technology and not, you know, a backlit kind of technology. Mm-hmm. And a good color gamut and good HDR response, quick response. I think OLEDs have a slightly bit faster crystal response than QLED, but the difference is minor these days. So it's a toss-up. So
if you were looking at television,
pick the operating system you want, pick the manufacturer, pick your size. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong with OLED or QLED.
Okay. So the next thing is a thing that we should talk about, which is the operating system on your TV, which sounds weird, I know, but I know this has happened to more than one person that I've spoken to about televisions over the course of time, where the picture looked great and the sound was great and got it home and put it on the stand or hung it on the wall or whatever, and like the menus are inscrutable. And it's hard to do anything, and you can't really tell where to set the time when the time changes. You can't tell where to, if you can rename the input so you know which one is the DVD player and all those kinds of things. So that sometimes can be a factor, but also because sometimes different operating systems come with different features. For example, not too long ago, you and Dave were on TDO and we talked about how Dave got a new television that did AirPlay, that was AirPlay 2 compatible and had a TV, the Apple TV Plus channel as an option on it. So he had the Apple experience that he wanted and he didn't have to hook an Apple TV box to it. So he had all the Apple TV software but didn't need the Apple TV hardware and was able to do all the things with that TV that he wanted to do. And so that's another thing to consider, because there are operating systems that include the Apple TV channel so that you can get TV Plus and all of that. I think Roku is one of those, and Roku is the operating system on some TVs. What's the other one I'm thinking of? WebOS, I think, is another that does some of that.
I think LG uses reasonably WebOS, well. Sony uses Android.
Yeah, there's some that are just Android. And then, of course, we have to take a minute to talk about the smartness of your television, because it's really hard to buy sort of a dumb TV that doesn't know anything about Wi-Fi, like that isn't going to get updated. There's a lot of security considerations. That doesn't mean you shouldn't ever connect your TV to the internet. If that's a thing you want to do, that's fine. But but make sure that you know what that entails.
I don't know if it's that fine. I'm allergic to letting my TV reside on the internet.
I know. Some people are and some people are not. That's my point. You shouldn't. Yeah. Right. You should know what the issue is, having a clear idea of what your TV is doing when it's connected to the internet. And some TVs make that a lot harder to determine than other TVs. So there's that too. So that's a thing that also kind of needs to be considered.
When I first heard about Sony using Android, I was a little concerned, but the Android that Sony uses, I've talked to the Sony rep, and they do a security certification each time they update the OS. And so
that's good.
They're pretty, they eliminate stuff that could be a problem. It's a little bit simpler version of Android, and it's more, probably more secure than the Android on your phone.
Yeah. So, yeah. And again, it's really just about awareness. That's, you know, whenever we do Security Friday, that's what we talk about, is just awareness. You should know, you should have some idea of what's happening and not just sort of, you know, blindly hoping that everything's going to be fine, because that doesn't usually turn out well.
Should you buy a 4K TV if you have high def?
We're not that far yet. Because that's going to be my next question. But first, okay, I need to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor is Mint Mobile. And Mint Mobile has done you a favor, because they've just made it way easier to break up with your current cell provider. And the way they've done that is by rolling out this unlimited data plan for $30 a month. I'm going to say that again. It's $30 a month for unlimited data. And with that plan, every plan at Mint Mobile comes with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and again, that unlimited high-speed data. That's a $30 a month plan. They're online only, and so because they don't have any retail stores, they can pass all of that savings on to you. You get high-speed data on their network. You can use the phone you already have. Just switch it over to their plan. You get to keep your phone number. You can keep all your contacts. If you get over there and decide that you don't like it, they have a 7-day money-back guarantee. And the whole thing shows up at your house. You walk through the steps. I've done this. It's pretty easy. And it was very convenient to have everything just show up, and I didn't have to worry about doing anything in particular. Didn't have to mask up and go anywhere. It was great. So you can find out more and get the entire thing, like I said, sent to your house for free at mintmobile.com/TDO. That's mintmobile.com/TDO. mintmobile.com/TDO will cut your unlimited wireless bill to $30 a month. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. So next, John, is my question about how many Ks we really need to talk about. Because I've had you on the show, and I've been doing the show long enough that we've talked about 4K as a point of contention in, why do I need a 4K TV if I'm going to watch Netflix? Netflix doesn't have a bunch of 4K stuff. This doesn't have a bunch of 4K stuff. There's not a lot of things I'm going to get to watch in 4K, so why should I buy the TV that's 4K? And the reason that this is interesting is because there are TVs out there now that say that they are 8K. So do I need to go to 8K? Is it shenanigans? What does 4K actually give me over the 1080p television that I have? Let's dig into these thousands of lines.
Well, first of all, 4K TVs will upscale your high definition content and it will look better.
Okay.
Second of all, a lot of content on Apple TV Plus, for all you Apple fans, is in 4K, and it's breathtaking. And I can see the difference between high definition scaled up to 4K and pure 4K. I can see it.
Okay.
And 4K TV is absolutely breathtaking. So when you do run across it on Amazon and Netflix, and there are smatterings of 4K shows, a lot more than you might think, it is really good viewing.
So let's talk for a second.
You can exercise the advantage of 4K from reasonable viewing distance.
Okay.
You cannot exercise the advantage of 8K from any reasonable viewing distance. You have to sit too close.
Let's talk about
the 8K.
Let's talk about
for it to be retina.
4K and 8K. So what we're talking about is, I think, and please correct me if this is incorrect, what I think we're talking about is the number of horizontal lines that make up the display on your TV, right? So it's 1,080 lines when you talk about a 1080 television or 1080p. What you're talking about is the number of horizontal lines in that display, right? and a 4K display has 4,000 lines instead of 1,000 lines. 1,080 lines. Does that seem right?
It's the number of vertical lines.
Vertical lines. Okay.
It's 3840 across. It's 2160 up and down.
Okay. So, okay, that was the number I was wrong about then. So
if you go right to left, you have almost 4,000 vertical lines of resolution.
Okay.
You go up and down, you have 2160 lines of resolution.
Okay. And
double 1080p.
Right. So on a 1080, so that's the difference. Okay. Yeah. So.
And the question is, when does it become indistinguishable from high definition? If you take a 65-inch 4K TV and you sit at about 6 to 8 feet, you can exploit its advantage.
Okay.
If you sit further away than about 10 feet, it becomes retina, and you can't tell the difference anymore. So okay. If you sit moderately close like we do, you know, 8 feet away, mm-hmm. 8 to 9 feet away from our TV, we're on the borderline, but we're exploiting the visible advantage. It's no longer retina.
Okay.
We're seeing the extra resolution.
Yeah.
8K has that. So you've got to sit about 4 feet away from an 8K TV.
Okay. So this
for
is
for you to be able to see all that resolution.
So this Nobody is sort of like that. Sitting in the front row of the theater with the IMAX screen, yeah. right? Yeah. Okay. So yeah, in practical terms, 8K is not going to do you much good. So this is the same sort of thing as when 1080p televisions came out. I remember at first they were very expensive and it didn't matter what size, like all of them were really not cheap. These nice flat panel displays. And so one of the things you had to look at was, do you want a 720p television or a 1080p television? And you're not going to really get the difference out of it. You know, it's not going to be worth spending the money until you get to a certain size television where you can actually see the difference. And it sounds like this is the same sort of thing. Like an 8K television is not going to do you any good anytime soon.
Just as a word of warning, though, there'll come a time when 4K TVs become so widespread that there's no profit in making them.
Right.
And the transition will be to 8K TVs. And what they'll do is they'll throw in added features, more exotic versions of high HDR, mm-hmm. 120 hertz yeah. Refresh, and other technologies that make an 8K TV worth it, even though you're not gaining
right,
too much
visible
resolution.
Right, because they got to sell more TVs. Right.
Yeah, right, right.
So
and you got to
Go ahead. Let's talk a little bit about vision.
No rush for an 8K TV right now.
Yeah, don't worry about 8K.
About half of American and British households have a 4K TV. The other half are high definition.
Okay. So
now the thing to know is when you transition from high definition to 4K, you may need to upgrade your equipment. You'll need to go from HDMI 1.4 to HDMI 2.0A. So just buying a TV, if you use a receiver like I do to drive your speakers and have multiple inputs and you have an old Apple TV, it uses HDMI 1.4, you won't be able to exploit 4K TV. So you may need to upgrade some of your equipment. You need to kind of do an audit of your equipment profile and make sure you have HDMI 2 all the way through the system from, you know, your streaming device through your receiver if you use one or into your TV. So watch for that.
Yeah. So real quick, I want to talk a little bit because another letter combination that is on a lot of tags is UHD or Dolby Vision.
UHD is a euphemism for 4K. It's ultra high definition.
Okay.
HD, as we said, is 1080p. Ultra high definition is 2160p. And the industry has never settled, or journalists have never settled on one or the other. Ultra high definition is the technical specification. It's more correct because 4K TVs are really 4096, and there are very few of them. It's mostly for cinematography, and your TV is 3840, which is not quite 4K, 4096.
Right.
So to say 4K is quite a bit of a misnomer, but a lot of journalists say, oh, yeah, shucks, people won't know what we're talking about unless we say 4K, and it's sexy. So
right.
You'll see that term used a lot. Dolby Vision. One of the things you get when you move from high definition to ultra high definition is you move from 8-bit color to 10-bit color.
Okay.
And that gives you many more colors per pixel.
Okay.
Instead of 256, there are many, many more. I forget the number, but you have a richer color gamut, and you don't get bleeding, and,
right?
And marks.
Okay.
And transitions. So sometimes you're looking at a sunset, you'll see swaths of color. 4K will smooth that out, and you'll see a richer, smoother background.
Okay.
10-bit supports Dolby Vision, which is a enhancement to the brightness and the contrast of the picture.
Okay.
And so darker scenes become higher contrast and better, more resolvable and better contrast ratios.
Okay. So thank you for that. Part of the reason we're talking about this is because even in 2020, there's a good chance of Black Friday happening. It just may not necessarily be limited to the day after Thanksgiving. So if you have more questions about this, if you've got your eye on a TV and you want to know about it, I think equipment is like all of the ancillary pieces is a piece that doesn't get considered a lot. Like if you have an old Apple TV, unless it's a 4K Apple TV, it's not going to show you 4K content. You may need new HDMI cables to hook up your DVD player if your DVD player doesn't do 4K, if you have a DVD player. That kind of stuff would all need to be upgraded as well in order for everything to be 4K, which is part of, I think, why Mr. Kelly didn't come home with a television, is because
before we close, there was some discussion about how your old, the high definition HDMI cables were good enough. They're not.
Okay.
Make sure your cable is certified for 18 gigabits per second.
Okay. And I think that's why we don't have a 4K television yet, is because there's a receiver and an Apple TV and HDMI cables and at least one DVD right. player we have to worry about upgrading. So it turns into a much spendier arrangement than just, you know, but Costco has this television and it's, you know, however much. So there is that. If you have questions, if you have more questions about this, if it turns out we need to do another episode talking about giant displays so that you can watch all your streaming stuff, we can do that. Just let us know at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or with comments in the show notes. John, thanks so much for coming by today. I always love when you take us to school on whatever the topic happens to be.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Makes me so happy. And here's an unsolicited plug for John's show, Background Mode, where you can hear John interview a number of guests about a wide variety of awesome things, and also sometimes me. So there you go. That's going to do it for us today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamano. We'll talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.